Module 3, Leverage and Negotiate.
Creating leverage and learning how to negotiate may seem like advanced concepts in business, let alone in your career. But frankly, you need to learn these tactics because they're some of the most important skills you can have in your professional career toolbox. When you build leverage, you can use it to negotiate and create a more ideal lifestyle, work-life balance, and financial foundation. Today, we're going to talk about how you can get clear on your value in today's marketplace. Then we'll share how you can showcase your value to employers and potential clients, if you can clearly demonstrate how your presence will help them with important business objectives, such as making or saving money, solving problems, building special expertise, improving operations, or even creating new opportunities. You're far more likely to be of great value to them. We're going to show you how to create leverage by building and putting these special skills to work, as well as give you some great tips on how to negotiate like a real pro.
Creating leverage and negotiating are rather advanced topics, but they're vital to your success when dealing with competition, compensation, and access to opportunities. Knowing your value and being able to maximize how valuable you are also plays a big part in how you're able to negotiate situations that are advantageous to you. Of course, this would be incomplete if we didn't talk about money, as this is one of the main things that makes this world go round. Money matters in our society, and you need to be able to know where you stand on this. What are your finances currently like? What would you like them to be like? How are you going to get there? We also cover how to create win-win scenarios where everyone is happy. This is the ideal situation in all aspects of your life. When you know your value, you can leverage that and make negotiations that are in your favor. Maximizing your value. The key to creating leverage and being able to successfully negotiate anything is knowing what you bring to any situation. This could mean assets, like wealth or power. But for our purposes, let's focus on value, the value you have to offer. After all, even if you have the former, you'll gain a lot more respect and admiration if you lead with the latter. Here are a few of the more common ways that you can improve your value as talent. These are universal levers that most organizations, clients, and employers are searching for. Employers and potential clients are always looking for ways that talent, like you, can help with these types of things. Make or save money, solve problems, offer something unique, improve opportunities or outlook, present opportunity to explore new possibilities, bring special expertise or experience, be a better alternative, reflect well on others, contribute regional or cultural expertise, and add some form of tangible value. Online, you're going to have the opportunity to answer a few questions now. Think about your last job, or the one that you're hoping to get next. We're going to ask you to describe it in as much detail as you can. We will also ask you to describe which levers you either brought to work in a certain situation or hope to bring to your next opportunity. Be specific and feel free to mention any ideas, considerations, or even concerns. Really focus on this concept of the value that you offer as talent in the marketplace. What you have to offer is wonderfully unique, but for you to be compensated, that value must be relevant to the organizations you want to be paid by. Regardless of whether you're an employee, entrepreneur, contractor, or vendor, being able to clearly define your value and the qualities that you offer builds leverage for you and improves your worth. The more successfully you can accomplish this, the more others will agree that you are a precious commodity. And that bodes beautifully for your prospects. Leverage. In a literal manner, to leverage something means using your strengths to move something in a direction that you'd like it to move. In the business world, leverage is all about who has the options, the power, and ultimately, control over any given situation. This can be in reference to just about any set of circumstances where two or more parties are involved and control is a factor. Jobs, relationships, and major purchases, like a house or car, are all examples of where you would be in a negotiating situation and would probably want to create leverage, i.e., use your strengths to sway something in your favor. So how do you create or gain leverage? You can gain leverage by having material things or by being someone of significance, substance, or talent. Your skills, your strengths, talents can be some of your best leverage points. We want you to get clear on exactly what those are so you can use them to your advantage. The act of creating value with your talents is the sweetest kind of leverage to have. Online, you're going to find a great activity called Leverage Self-Assessment. We're going to ask you to describe your next ideal work opportunity. Then, rate the amount of competition in your particular marketplace. After that, we'll have you list 5 of your value propositions, for example, your skills or talents. Next, we're going to ask you to describe your value in the marketplace, what that might be. We realize there's no way to be exact on this, but do your best in estimating. This is a really powerful exercise that most people who complete EYP cite back as one of the most important lessons that they've learned in the program. Since doing this exercise, do you feel like you need a little more leverage in your life? Of course you do. We all do. Building leverage can do wonders for you, affording you more control over your life in good times and in bad. Considering the competition around your professional career, increasing your value to the point of being irreplaceable gives you the ultimate leverage. With this type of leverage, you could get added benefits of taking time off, influencing the terms of your employment, holding more influential positions, getting projects that you're really interested in, getting funded, and getting more support when you need it. You have leverage when you have something that people want, or you're someone people want. Then you have options to work, to stay, to play, or walk away. Negotiate. Buying and selling. Giving and taking. Asking and receiving. Transactions very often require some sort of negotiation. It's a fundamental skill in business and life. Still, many people find it very uncomfortable. Why? Because asking for what you want is not always easy. It requires clarity, confidence, and determination to make a deal. People who tend to be the best negotiators are those who have been around business a long time. Maybe they've been in sales or spent time in marketplaces. Marketplaces, in fact, serve as a center of a lot of communities around the world, and exposure to them drives many people's understanding of and ability to conduct business. It's possible that you haven't experienced the world like this, though. Any lack of exposure or even awareness of how negotiating works will show up most likely when you're looking for a job or pursuing opportunities. While negotiating is certainly a talent, even an art, you too can learn how to be a good negotiator, even if you haven't been in any of these scenarios yet. In earlier modules, we worked on sculpting your value proposition by determining your strengths and talents. Soon, you'll be using this information to negotiate your way into better situations. It's important to be able to clearly ask for what you want. It's also paramount to be equally clear about what you have to offer or what you're willing to do in exchange for something. You need to know what you're willing to do or not do before you even enter a negotiation. You may be thinking this sounds a lot like sales, but it is. Sales is part of a negotiation. Presenting your side is a sales tactic. The back and forth negotiation that happens during the transaction is where you search for common ground in your deal making. When you're able to use your savvy, charm, skills, knowledge, and insights to meet someone on a level in which they're willing to meet you, you've got the foundation of a deal. Always remember the old adage, "The devil is in the details." This means no deal is done until all the details are finalized and the deal is sealed or signed. Sometimes that means a handshake, and other times a legally binding contract. When negotiating matters: purchasing goods or services, managing healthcare, buying or renting property, obtaining a job or a raise, avoiding being fired, raising money for a project, startup, charity, or other endeavor, getting your way with friends, colleagues, or even loved ones, when trading anything. We talked about leverage before negotiation for a reason. Going into any negotiation without clearly understanding what you bring to the table and the context of why it's relevant and valuable to the other party is a recipe for failure. Yet everyday people show up at job interviews, new client pitches, and investment meetings unprepared. You're ready to do business and be taken seriously when you know what you have to offer, are clear what you want, and understand what you're willing to give to get a deal done. Money matters. Money is a difficult topic to talk about. After all, it's one of the number one causes of stress all over the world. Wherever your relationship with money stands, the bottom line is you need to know how to make it, manage it, and work with it to function more easily in this world. This applies to everyone, regardless of what they do. Artists, farmers, government workers, nonprofits, charities, they all need to make money to survive. You need to be able to sustain yourself economically, at the very least. Hopefully, you'll want to do even more than that. You would probably prefer to live in a nice house than scrape by. You might also want to support a family. The older you get, the more your tastes and desires evolve and grow. People often find themselves wanting more and more money to improve their lifestyle and their options as they get older. In terms of negotiating and creating leverage, we want you to be able to make the amount of money you deserve. When you're clear on how much your talents are worth in the marketplace, you can more confidently use that as leverage to negotiate in your favor. Online, you'll find an activity called Money Matters. We're going to ask you questions like, how comfortable are you with the amount of money that you currently have? How is the amount of money you have or don't affecting you right now? Think about that in a lot of detail. Is money a motivator for you? Why? Describe that. What, if anything, are you doing to improve your financial situation? We'd like you to describe that in detail, too. An old proverb says, "He who has the gold makes the rules." Advice from industry pros. Nishan Radia is the co-founder and managing partner of Focal Point Partners, an investment banking firm. He specializes in mergers and acquisitions, corporate finance, including the placement of debt and equity securities, valuation, and strategic advisory. As we are discussing how to leverage and negotiate in this module, Nishan has an amazing wealth of information to help you with these exact topics.
My name is Nishan Radia. I'm an investment banker and founder at Focal Point Partners. Born and raised in the UK, I founded Focal Point in 2002, having spent most of my career in the big firms. My client base today is entrepreneurs, you know, the guys who start businesses with blood, sweat, and tears and have reached a point now where they want to do something with capital or with money to take their dreams to the next level. I never woke up one day and thought I wanted to be an investment banker. It just sort of happened. You go through college and you do all the right courses and you decide, you know, what are you good at and what are your skill sets at? And I got an internship, found out I was pretty good at it and fell right into it. Starting in the big firms was a really good stepping off point for me. It was an important part of my training. I think the experience you get at larger firms is really difficult to replicate, especially in smaller firms. It was more structured. It was a different time back then. You know, what we wanted was training. What we wanted was stability in our careers, and we wanted to feel like we were doing something that was credible and noteworthy with our families and parents, and that's what we did. I think sometimes in life, you know, the best decisions happen by accident, and as a person in the career space, you have to be willing to play the cards that are dealt to you when they're dealt. And, you know, I was at UCLA Anderson doing my master's, my MBA, and we had a client that approached the school and wanted to hire two kids to help them run a deal for them. And that's how we started our firm. So we fell into it. It wasn't by design, but once we got that opportunity, we took it with both hands. I have a thesis that if you're not happy with what you do, you're not going to be good at it. And I know I'm good at investment banking. I never realized I was an entrepreneur, and I come from entrepreneurial blood. I feel happier and I feel a little more liberated to make good decisions for our clients by working for myself. It's difficult, challenging, and exciting. The negotiation is something that is part and parcel of my daily life. We do it every day. Most oftentimes, the clients will approach us because someone somewhere made an offer for their company or offered to give them some capital, and they're not sure how to handle that. So they call us and they ask us to help negotiate the best terms for them. If you want the best outcomes in a negotiation, you really have to prepare. So we spend a lot of time with our clients understanding what they really want to achieve and what their real idea of a good outcome would be, and we go out there and try and negotiate it for them. To me, negotiating is an art and not a science. I think there's a level of self-awareness, a level of interpretation and insight that you have to have into what your counterpart really wants to achieve if you're going to be successful at it. The worst negotiators are those who go in there and really, without any regard for the other side, list their demands and list what's important to them, without making any concessions to the other party and what they might need. When you look at negotiating strategy, you always want to try and create a win-win outcome. an outcome that's good for you and good for them, especially in the workforce, because ultimately you want to create a relationship with the person you're negotiating with. He might be offering you a job, and if he feels like you negotiated too hard and he lost out, he might be resentful for that. So I think the art form really lies in negotiation in terms of assessing what your counterpart really needs and trying your best to create that win-win outcome. So how do you become a better negotiator? There are some things you can do. You need to prepare. The first thing you need to do is think about what you're looking for, have a clearly defined set of asks that you want to achieve. Try and think about what the other side wants too. And again, try and think about ways in which you can give them what they want and get what you want. Practice it. Find a mentor that you relate to and who has some experience in the world and sit down with him or her and try and figure out some scenarios that might come up in a negotiation. Think of the tough questions. Think of the extreme positions you might be met with. Preempt them. The one thing you know in business is to expect the unexpected. So prepare, prepare, prepare. When I'm preparing for a negotiation, a lot of it is about understanding what I really want to get out of it. Figuring out what would be a great outcome, what would be a good outcome, and what would frankly be an unacceptable outcome. And at that point, once I have those positions outlined, it really is just a function of going in there and doing it. One of the key terms that we learned at school, and which I think we apply every day in our lives, is BATNA, best alternative to a negotiated agreement. And what that really speaks to is your ability to walk away from a particular situation. If you have a strong ability to walk away because maybe you don't need the outcome as much as the other guy, it makes your negotiating position that much stronger and it gives you more leverage in that negotiation. Try and figure out what your counterpart's BATNA is. What does he want to get out of the negotiation? And what's his penalty or risk or fallback position if a deal doesn't get done? When you're trying to create a relationship with the person you're negotiating with, there's only really two ways in which a negotiation can turn sour. One is when you don't feel like you got a fair shake, and the other one is when the other side feels like they got taken too hard. And in the end, I think what you want to try and do is never be in a position where either side feels resentful. So there are two types of negotiation that you need to care about, and these are really important things to think about before you walk in that room. The first type is one where you're going to have a relationship with that person going forward and when you need to create that win-win. The other type of negotiation will be one where, frankly, you're never going to see that person again, and it doesn't really matter. It's really about you getting as much of the pie as you can. Figure that out before you go in there, because if you have the desire to create a relationship going forward, maybe it's a prospective employer. In my case, maybe it's a prospective client or a counterpart. You never want to take it to that point where the relationship will get soured. So if I was to leave you with one piece of advice as you're trying to enter into this very competitive workforce that we're in today, I think it's really about who you are and how you demonstrate that to the person you're meeting. You know, a resume and a skill set will get you into the door. The only way you'll be allowed to walk through it is through being yourself, being passionate, and really showing them why you're the right person to be there. Think of it not about whether your resume fits, but think about whether you personally fit in the organization that you're trying to go interview with.
Go for win-win. Talking about influence, leverage, and negotiating can quickly turn into thoughts of money and power. When you study business, you learn how to manage these things skillfully and to scale. Regardless of how successful you become or how high you climb, strive to maintain a strong set of values all the way through. Be a good person by treating people fairly and making good deals. Strive to ensure that everyone wins from every interaction with you. Use whatever influence you have to inspire others to do the same. That way, we all benefit. Go forth and be prosperous, and do everything you can to help others do the same. That's just good business. As we just mentioned, the best negotiations are the ones where everyone walks away happy. These are called win-win scenarios. Conducting transactions and doing deals that feel good to everyone are what you want to strive for whenever possible. Here are a few tips. Don't show all your cards right away. Figure out what your limits are and what you're willing to negotiate before you go into a transaction. Try to make equitable deals. Be clear on what each of you wants. Understand what's important to them and to you. Know your value and what leverage you might have. Ask people you trust for advice. Anticipate, practice, and be ready for potential problems or issues the other person will come back at you with. Be willing to walk away. Whoever is willing to walk away has the most leverage. You've learned a lot about leveraging, negotiating, and being a great salesperson in this module. Now imagine a real-life situation in which you have to negotiate for something. How can you best prepare for your next work-related negotiation? Let's set up a scenario and see how you do. Online, you'll find an activity, which is a real-life negotiation activity. Describe in as much detail as you can the most likely scenario for your next professional negotiation. We're going to have you think about who you'll be negotiating with. Clearly articulate what you have to offer. Be specific with what you're looking for from the deal. What do you want them to offer you? What are you willing to give or give up to finalize the deal? What are your deal breakers? Where do you draw the line? What kind of requests are not acceptable to you? In any deal, you want to try to anticipate all the potential questions and outcomes and come up with possible responses so you can hold your ground and maintain your strength or position. And make sure you get it all in writing. Advice from industry pros. Paul Eskenazi is the chief financial officer in charge of the hip sound and earphone brand Beats by Dre. For years, Paul has been providing strategic consulting services to privately owned and entrepreneurial businesses with a focus on media and consumer goods companies. His areas of expertise are strategic and financial planning, developing and structuring corporate and business development initiatives, and building and executing operational strategies. If anyone knows how to leverage and negotiate important deals, Paul is one of the best.
Hi, my name is Paul Eskenazi. I was formerly the CFO for the Jim Henson Company, and after that I became the CFO for Beats by Dre. As you guys may know, the Jim Henson Company was the manufacturer and creator of the Muppets, and Beats has been the creator and manufacturer of the world-famous headphones. Prior to that, I worked for the Boston Consulting Group, and since then I've been advising and a management consultant to a number of companies that are private equity and venture-backed. After school, I went to go work for the Boston Consulting Group. Boston Consulting Group is a world-renowned management consulting firm, and it was a great firm to work for because it allowed me to do a lot of different projects in different industries. You also got to work in different levels of the company, both at the executive suite as well as working with mid-level managers and solving problems, everything from growth strategy to things such as re-engineering and helping them figure out how to run the company more efficiently and more effectively. The companies that I worked for, we did a couple of large transactions. When I was at Beats, we sold the company to Apple for $3+ billion. The second deal that I worked on was when Jim Henson Company sold MTV for $1 billion. The CFO is the chief financial officer. The CFO is an executive position that really oversees all financial aspects of the company, including recording, reporting, tax. In some companies, it may include IT, HR, as well as other operational aspects of the business. I think a common misconception about the CFO role is it really is solely an accounting and finance role. And to me, the most powerful and successful CFO opportunities are roles that really redefine that and go beyond that. What do? They help manage the finance of the company. They think about the corporate and debt structure of the company. They think about how to use the information to allow people to analyze and make decisions better. And lastly, they take that information to help the company plan and think about not just what are near-term opportunities, but what are long-term opportunities, as well as what may be issues that need to be addressed by the executive team. I learned to negotiate from the first salary negotiation I ever had. And what you realize is no matter where you are in your company, in your career, there's always some sort of negotiation. You're always dealing with people outside of your company, dealing with partnerships, dealing with vendors. A negotiation does not need to be a negative thing. It needs to be a thing that allows you to get information and allows you to grow and allows you to make decisions. It's about sharing information, sharing your goals of negotiation, allowing people to understand what's important to you, and giving up on things that are not going to be key to your success moving forward. The benefits are you're able to get things that and succeed at things that other people can't. If you're able to close a deal that other people can't close, it allows you to be more successful. It can help transform your company. It can help do a deal that can transform employees' lives and really change your brand overnight. My success in negotiation has been because I allow myself to share information and get information from the other party I'm working with. The other party needs to be looked at as a potential partner. So the negotiation shouldn't be about I'm going to win or lose. It should be about how am I going to succeed after this negotiation? And what are the important things to make this person look good? And most importantly, make me look good? And the only way that can happen is by saying, here's the information that I think you need to know to be able to make a better decision. When it comes to things that are not as important to you, you need to say, here's what's not important to me, but I know this may be really important to you. Let me allow you to sort of take that piece, negotiate that. You guys have a win on that. But give me something that will allow me to be successful in this negotiation. When I'm doing a deal, leverage is a really key, important aspect of success of the deal. Leverage is basically allowing the other side to understand you have options. Leverage is understanding that you have value that may not necessarily be seen to them. Leverage is making sure that the other side knows that you have the ability to walk away from the table and not do it in a way that's being cocky. However, it's important to show that the value that you have is value that you could use without working with them. When you love your work, it allows you to get through the really tough times. Work is what you slog through. A job is what you do. A career is what you love. Identify what makes you tick, what makes you feel challenged, and how those challenges make you feel engaged and invigorated rather than making you feel like you're slogging through something. If you asked me 20 years ago what I'd be doing today, I probably would have told you I'd be doing something else. I was probably stressed that every decision I made out of college and my first job was going to define everything that I do for the rest of my life. And the reality is that's not true. What you realize is that there's a huge amount of opportunity and the path for you is going to be unique. The most important thing is to make yourself happy. And whether you're a startup, whether you're at an NGO, whether you're in an executive role, happiness makes you succeed at all levels. And finding what makes you happy, finding what invigorates you, can allow you to make impact at any role in an organization or any opportunity you have.
Summary. In this module, you've learned how to estimate your value, how to leverage your strengths, and how to effectively negotiate so that everyone wins. We also talked about the importance of money in our society. We stress the importance of you getting clear on where your finances are, as well as where you'd like to be. These tools will serve you in almost every area of your life, not just your career, so we hope you've learned a lot.